So welcome to the Exercise Science Podcast.
Hey guys.
We are. So our little blip here, you don't have time to read a research paper. What do? You ask me and Chelsea to help you out. So we know how it is with getting busy and needing to read research papers and not having time. So we want to read the research papers for you and help you out.
Yeah. You write a good article. They cite their sources the way they're supposed to. You think, you know, I would really like to learn more about that study that they based this article on. Maybe something seems a little questionable. And so send it to us and we'll see what we can do.
Today we have Audrey with us.
Hi, Audrey.
Hello.
Audrey is my old classmate from college. She currently works as a manager at an athletic center and is a athletic strength coach for female sports and football. And a little fun fact about her, she has 3 ferrets and 3 dogs at home.
Yes.
Our parents had a couple of ferrets before we were born. But my dad started having bad dreams that one of them, or that they might bite me. And so while my mom was still pregnant, they gave them away. So I could have been the cute little baby with the ferret.
So Audrey, what inspired you to be an exercise professional?
Well, there was a lot of different things actually in the very beginning. I actually wanted to be a meteorologist for the longest time.
Wow.
And it wasn't until probably my senior year when it really clicked that exercise was more my calling. I always liked to share information, and it was my anatomy class that really made me start thinking about the body, how things worked. And then as a leader on my sports teams, I had to be the one that taught the younger freshmen, kind of take them under my wing. And then that made me realize, oh, I enjoy teaching. I enjoy understanding and how this all kind of coincides. So then I started just looking up, how can I be, you know, a professional, whether it's coaching, exercise science, physical therapy. And then that's how I picked up kinesiology was the word that then I realized that was a thing because I was never exposed to something like that. So that was pretty much my anatomy class and my sports team that inspired me to pursue exercise science.
That's very interesting. You know, whenever I was in school, I kind of had the same thing. I met someone that was in the kinesiology degree, and she was telling me all about it, and I was like, that sounds perfect for me. What is this business?
That's what I said when you said what your major was going to be.
So tell us about your career journey. So you kind of talked about what started your path, but after you went to school, tell us about how that went for you.
So my career has been kind of chaotic, I feel like, all over the place, but really, who isn't? So as soon as during college, I started working at the UCO Wellness Center at University of Central Oklahoma, and I was involved with the Paralympic athletes. So I felt like I've, throughout my journey, had a lot of little niches throughout. So I was never like just solely one thing. I've always wanted to explore different avenues of exercise science. So that was my first kind of introduction. As soon as I finished my bachelor's, I worked at the time is Key Health Institute. It's gone through a lot of names, transformations.
Mm-hmm.
Was it the Adams Course, Edmond Athletic Center?
Yes.
It's gone through many changes. Yes. So when I was there, it was Key Health Institute, and I was an exercise physiologist. So I got to use my certification that I just graduated with. Thought that was cool, everything I want to do. Then after about a year and a half, I was like, you know, I miss the performance side of things, because that's when I actually just finished my athletic career at UCO as well. So I was kind of ready to kind of change course and not just be all athletics focused, even though that was my true love. I just wanted to kind of veer from that, see if I was interested in anything else. As soon as that was done, I went off to higher ground running, which was, again, another specialty niche. It was very long distance running specific. I helped with like the speed and strength side of it for marathon runners, half marathon runners, and then just track athletes in general. And then after that, I went to a whole nother course, which was American Ninja Warrior. So then that was a whole, That was totally everything. And that was, it was like, oh, wow, this is like that cool TV thing I've always wanted to do, but also tie it into my studies. And actually, there was a gym that opened up here in Edmond at the time, was called Defy, which was a Ninja Warrior gym specifically. So I trained anywhere from kids to adults how to do the obstacles and kind of use that biomechanics standpoint, like how do you be more efficient through something, you know. So I did that for a little bit, and as well as another place called Family Fun and Fitness, which was very Ninja Warrior specific. And that was a lot of fun. I loved it. I actually got to compete and do the American Ninja Warrior when it came here to Oklahoma City in 2019.
Cool.
So
how did you do in the competition?
Well, I'll say it's a lot harder than what people see. You see it on TV and you're like, oh, I could do that. Then you get there and you're like, oh, shoot, this is way, way harder than you anticipate. So that was a lot of fun, but also kind of nerve-wracking. And it kind of coincided with everything I said, like wanting to branch out and do something. My motto at the time was try something every day that's going to scare you, which that applied to my job, doing stuff that I was totally unfamiliar with, competing on Ninja Warrior. I got to do all the backstage stuff, which is really fun. And then that led me to actually coach track at Edmond Memorial. So I got back into the track realm after Ninja Warrior. That was kind of fun. And then I was like, okay, let's go back to my roots. So that's where I ended up now, with being a manager at Oklahoma Athletic Center. Then I stepped into that role with my master's degree. Okay, like now I'm going to manage versus just kind of, you know, be that, you know, different role there. But oh, damn it. Sorry, we had to interrupt you with doggy. And then now I'm back at Oklahoma Christian Academy, and I'm going to be the track coach. And like she said, the female strength and conditioning coach. So that's where I'm at today. So I've had lots of different jobs through the last 7 years of my life.
I've always been a fan of watching your journey through social media. I'm not going to lie. Especially the Ninja Warrior stuff. It was, like you said, so niche and it was so cool. But the strength that it would require to be able to not only coach something like that, you have to be able to do that in order to teach someone to do that. And then you were having kids coming to your gym and having parties and things. It was just really cool.
And I think that kind of advanced my career in a sense. Even though it, you know, could totally not apply to things I'm doing today. But like you said, with the kids, like, how do you explain to a five-year-old how to do something? And that challenged me. Like, if you can explain it to a five-year-old, you can explain it to anybody. And like you said, having to learn how to do something as well as, you know, teach it was, and do it physically was a challenge in itself. So I think that was a very good growth point in my career.
Like on Reddit, I know my sister's thinking this already.
Yep.
Explain it to me like I'm five.
Yep. ELI5. I will walk into my fiance's office all the time. Hey, no, explain it to me like I'm five. I don't get it. That's hard.
What are some other challenges that you've had in your career? You've had a lot of areas in your journey that could have challenged you.
Yeah, personally, just throughout, like, I feel like I haven't focused as much as I would like to, but at the same time, I feel like that diversity and adversity made me just overall well-rounded. And another place that's kind of always been a challenge is being a female in a male-dominant industry.
Yeah.
Getting that respect, getting people to believe in you, and, you know, that's always been a challenge.
That trust is hard to build.
And with, you know, us being females, like, typically when people think of personal trainers, their first image is probably some buff guy. Like, you don't think of a female who is educated or fit herself, or, you know, they just, like you said, when working with the football team, that was always a big, like, shock to them, like, oh, we have a girl here who, you know, going to help us out. And so I would say just having that respect as a female has always been a challenge. Sorry, Sebastian.
Yeah. So this one's kind of more in line with my background, but you mentioned your personal fitness journey earlier. So kind of talk a little bit about that. What got you started just on your personal, what have you learned? Nephew, cut it out.
He's getting super excited. So for my fitness journey, like, obviously I ran track. That was kind of the big bulk of my identity. Pause.
Sorry. Y'all know, anyone who had to just had to work from home during COVID, animals.
Animals like to, he wants to be in on the action. Okay.
I don't understand work time versus play time.
So, but yeah, so growing up, track was kind of my identity. So I ran track since I was 10 years old. That was my main sport. And so that was a big part of my life. I played basketball, softball, and other things as well, but track's always kind of been my heart. And after competing for 12 years straight of my life, that's what kind of got me into Ninja Warrior, was I just wanted something totally off course that I didn't do. And what was more off course than going upper body stuff that when I was a very lower body dominant sport from running to now I'm having to do pull-ups and all kinds of crazy stuff that I had never done in my life before because I had no gymnastics background or anything of that source. So I did that for about 2-3 years. I would say 3 solid years of training. And then just recently I've gotten into powerlifting because I've always enjoyed lifting through training for sports. And then when I realized, okay, well, now I can do this as a sport itself, that was kind of the driving factor. So now I'm competing in powerlifting. And I have a meet actually June 26th coming up this month. Cool. So I've actually enjoyed that a lot. And it's kind of kept that competitive edge because I always tell myself, okay, I'm going to retire because I finished college track in 2015. But then I stopped for about, I would say, a year. And then I was like, man, I really miss the competitive edge that I always got. So I had to find something else, always.
Do you feel like sports just helped you release some of that energy as a kid, or do you feel like being in sports as a kid has now made you an adult who just likes to move a lot?
Well, since I was a kid, I've always been super high energy. Anybody that knows me knows that I'm like infinity energy. I'm constantly moving, going, and doing. But so I think sports kind of helped me channel that because a lot of people, especially my fiance, says I'm a very passionate person. So when I get fixated on something, I have to channel that energy. And I think exercise has always been probably why I've been driven to it, is it was a physical outlet for me and just my personality type that helped me focus. I'm a very kinetic learner. I was never one to read something and absorb it. So if I could watch you and copy you in some way, shape, or form, that was how I learned. So I think that's why that resonated with me so well personally.
And we got you in T-ball when you were, what, 3-ish?
Yeah.
You did soccer after that, and then you did back. So you've kind of been in the same boat as her. I'm the outlier. That was the couch potato.
Well, you did band. She was the marching band color guard girl.
Wow.
Color guard was definitely much more physical than just regular marching band. I thought I was being smart because I didn't want to march with an instrument as big as I was in a full wool uniform. Not knowing what was coming was a 6-foot pole with a lot of fabric on the end of it and a spandex uniform. It set some foundations that became useful for me in my 20s when I was realizing, oh, my metabolism is not what it was when I was 12, and I need to start paying attention to what I'm doing and what I'm eating, and it was really much more of an organic process for me. You know, my mom, being a mom in the 80s and 90s, it was all very Jane Fonda,
yes,
fast. You know, there wasn't a ton of emphasis in school either on, we had our food pyramid, but I still don't feel like I learned proper nutrition other than eat fruits and vegetables. It wasn't I felt like we needed more how to incorporate these into normal meals so it doesn't feel so, what's the word, like 2 inches from your face. This is why recording not live is much better, because when my brain just stops, she can edit all this mess out. Anyway, we all know what I'm trying to say.
And I think that's kind of what, also now that I've learned all this stuff, like exercise is a journey different for everybody, but it all can kind of lead into these habits. And like you said, especially for females and moms in the back in the day, like that wasn't a thing. Mm-hmm. So I feel like this generation is going to change that a lot. And that's what got me into coaching at OCA, was being that female figure for them. Cause that was kind of a complaint, or I would say a complaint, but a suggestion of, you know, when you think of a coach in high school, I don't know about you guys, but mine were all males in their late 30s, 40s, or older. You never really saw female sport coaches ever. And especially in the weight room, especially in like just in any sport. And there, it's always been, like I said, a male dominant sport, or, you know, male dominant industry. But I'm trying to change that narrative and be that figure that, okay, exercise can look different for everybody.
Has changed a lot in the last 10 years, but there's always been this. Sebastian, Matthew,
he wants to say something.
We're not part of this party. There's always been this misconception, especially with women, that if you do a lot of strength training, you're going to bulk up and look like a man, and that we don't make enough testosterone to do that.
Yes.
Naturally. So that's not going to happen. And so I think even just your presence alone, just being there and showing them, this is what I do, and this is what I look like, and this is what I can do outside of here, it's all good things.
Yeah, no, I agree. And that's kind of what I wanted to share for the talking about the article, because I actually have a quote, if you don't mind me pulling this up. I saw it the other day, and thinking about this podcast coming up, because in for my experience, I'll have a lot of women in the gym, and they'll see me lifting or doing stuff or just walking by, and they're like, oh man, I want to look like you, or I want to be in shape like you, till I tell them what I do. I'm over here, I'm like, okay, well, I just deadlifted 320. And they're like, oh no, I don't want to look like a man. I'm like, well, 1 minute you just said you wanted to look like me, and do I look like a man?
Exactly.
And then now that, you know, they realize, okay, touching a weight is not going to make me turn into a muscular looking guy. And so the quote I saw from Testosterone Nation, funny enough, when you said testosterone, it said, I hate when girls say, I don't lift weights, I'm worried I'll get too muscular. And then he talks about, like, you know, especially from a female standpoint, I'm like, how much time have I spent in the gym to feel, to me, average, and I could be even more, because like you said, we don't produce the testosterone at a natural level. And saying something like that is like, it says, that's like walking up to a piano and saying, don't let me touch the keyboard, I'm worried I'm going to do a concert next.
Ooh.
And I was like, wow, that, to me, that just resonated, because it's like,
that gave me goosebumps.
And when I saw that,
right there.
And to me, that's such the message, because I don't know, like you said, in the 90s, 80s, mm-hmm. women were told, like, oh, aerobics, you don't touch weights. That was unheard of, or you were the weirdo, you know, if you lifted weights.
You got your little 3 pound drop.
Yes. Yeah. Your little pink weights and the purple weights, the colorful ones, but never touch a barbell. And I feel like I said, this generation is going to change that, because nowadays I see so many more women picking up barbells, looking awesome, other females wanting to do the same. And I really hope that's going to change the narrative, because that's kind of been my mission as a woman, to make other women feel empowered through lifting. And that's so important to me. So,
I mean, I have my personal goals is, so we buy the spaghetti sauce from Costco because we really like it, and we're really excited we could find it in big jars in a 2-pack. I cannot open these jars. It is ridiculous. These jars were like put on with the riveting guns from the tire shop. I can't say struggle with these jars, which makes me feel a little bit better. But we definitely have that dynamic. I just walk in the room and just hand it to them. I don't even have to say anything. Just here. But
So that, I would like to be able to open jars by myself, and I've always wanted to be able to do a push-up on my toes. That's my upper body goal. I lift weights. I mean, they're not as heavy as y'all, but I'm working towards it. And it's not even about a looks thing. It's that functional, those functional abilities, what strength training can do for you to let you do things that you want to do. Like walking up a flight of stairs without feeling like you're going to die.
That goes to that activity.
Also a goal I have of mine.
I think that goes back to our activities of daily living that we studied all the time.
Definitely.
And that's super important, like daily functions that are made easy, that you don't take for granted all the time.
I always told my patient to exercise so that life can be more fun.
Yes, 100%.
So, Audrey, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career? That ninja war is hard.
Yes, lots of things, because... Man, a lot of things. Literally there's so many different things like that I wish I could pass on to, you know, and that's why I've kind of went through these different career phases, but definitely like this is very service, and you don't realize like how much impact you make on people's daily lives. Like to me, when I thought of exercise and physical therapy and all this, like I just thought it was just an action you kind of went through. But I didn't realize like all the relationships and things that are so important through the development of like your professional career. Like you can change somebody's entire life. And so I didn't realize on the pretty much, sorry, I'm trying to think of the words to put this into perspective, but it's very customer service, one-on-one. Like you don't realize those deep connections you make. And they're super important for you as well as the client or, you know, person you're helping, whether it's online, in person. So I just wish I would have known that. Sorry, I'm going blank too.
No, you're good. You make a really valid point that I would have never thought of, that customer service and just dealing with people. You're never really going to get away from that.
Well, and I imagine not having done it, but just, you know, my little sister's done it, that personal, there are certain jobs, personal trainer, of course, counselor, which is one that makes sense, hairdresser, nail technician person. There's just certain jobs that there's not really a whole lot to do while the thing is being done. And so you talk, massage therapist. And so I feel you guys are probably a little bit of a mental health professional.
Yes.
You don't necessarily feel like you are.
No, and that's why I realized like you wear so many hats, because you become friends. You, like you said, you hear about their day, you learn about their life, what they do, and you become very invested in people. And like you said, it's very people oriented. So if you're not a people person, it's kind of will probably be a little difficult for you, but just the connection was, and all the different hats you wear as a exercise professional. That was, to me, I would have never known that. Going in, I thought it was, oh, I just got to know the reps, the sets, here you go. And then when I, like I said, when it became investment of their entire lifestyle, their eating habits you talk about, you know, what they do on the weekend, I was like, man, I feel like I know all these people's lives. And then they know about me too, you know, like you said, because you just talk.
You feel like that helped better plan for future sessions with them, understanding their motivation, how to motivate them, and that kind of stuff too.
Yeah, I think that, and that played a factor, because, you know, people think of a personal trainer as just someone, oh, do this many more sets, go, yell at you. Yeah. And a lot of times it never comes to that. It's just, like you said, finding what drives you, what is the internal and external factors in their life that makes them want to exercise? How can you influence that? And to me, I'd never thought of those kind of things. It was just all about the reps, sets, what exercise can I do? And that's going to be fun and awesome looking to them, but also serve a purpose. And half the time, that's not even the biggest factor of any of the sessions that end up happening.
Yeah, I couldn't watch The Biggest Loser, and I got some DVDs of one of those trainers' workout videos, and I can't watch them because they yell at me. And I don't know. And the TV is yelling at me.
And I've been always a positive reinforcement person because exercise should always be fun. I've always enjoyed exercise, so I don't want to make your experience miserable. I never understood why people try to do that approach. It works for some, but definitely not for the mass of people.
Not for me. I don't know. You, Libby, how about you?
Do you like to be yelled at?
Go, go, go.
And I think there's a time and a place for it.
Do more.
There is a time and a place for it, but I definitely like being yelled at.
So you're the person that likes to be yelled at. No, but that's what I'm saying. Everybody's motivated differently.
Family, to each their own.
Well, I need that person to be like, Olivia, stop making excuses for yourself. You can do this. Shut up and do it. And then I'm like, no, I can't. And they're like, yes, you can. And I'm like, ah!
And then you geek out 5 more reps.
Exactly. Exactly. I can see how that fits. Exactly.
Oh, Sebastian got excited.
Your dog is trying to make you do 5 more.
Seconds. He's telling you to do 5 more right now.
5 more questions.
But that was actually the advice my coach in college, Coach John Heath, that was one of the best advice he gave me was, coach to the athlete, not just the sport. So like what may motivate you doesn't motivate her. And it's such a psychological game. And you really got to learn who they are as a person to really coach them in to the best ability. Because what works for one won't work for another. And that resonated with me when he told me that story. That was like, wow. That wow moment, that kind of just that light bulb go off, that from now on when I coach, I got to really pay attention and know how everybody thinks and feels. So like you said, like you end up being a psychologist, a mental health person, like so many different facets than just here's the exercise, go.
Okay, I'm
going to
get deep on you.
Oh, no.
What would you say was your biggest failure in your career and what did you learn from it?
By the way, this makes you really go to job interviews.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Man.
At least this is always a question I get asked.
Really? Well, because I feel like I make constant failures on the daily basis. I'm constantly thinking, like, man, I should have done that better. I'm trying to think, just one real defining moment. Other than like just a series of moments I've had where I told myself, man, I won't do that again, you know? So I don't feel like there's one specific major thing. But the thing I tell myself is if I don't learn from it or don't grow from these little mistakes that add up to big ones. But the number one thing I would say is making myself too available to people in the sense that I get going. Because again, back to my personality, I'm a very high energy and I like to people please, like, oh, I'll do this. Oh, I'll do that for you. So my availability becomes strung. My cup first to give to other cups. That was what I learned in a workshop, actually, that made me realize that was my failure. I'm constantly myself available to you. That's where I've had to learn to kind of constantly pushing for more sense mentally and everything. And that's where I end up making those mistakes that are crucial, is because I've given so much of myself that I can't give anymore. I don't know if you want me to give any example, but it's like I said, it's a daily thing. And I'm like, man, if I just sort of focused on this one little thing, check that box and done, I can move on to the next, but definitely the availability.
I can see that. You're definitely a very giving, caring person and really care about the people you work with. So maybe something that one of my coworkers I've been telling her is learning to say no, and that no is okay.
Yes.
Okay. Well, what advice would you give someone that's going to pursue this career?
Lots of different things, but one, definitely be able to give of yourself, like you said, be a serving kind of person, because like we've talked about already, just all the different things you have to, you know, address and give of yourself and invest into somebody else. So be prepared that, you know, this is important to invest in others and serve something more than yourself. Because a lot of people come in this, and honestly, exercise, I feel like it's deemed as a very selfish type of career, because people see me like, oh, all you do is work out. You're so self-centered, but you end up giving so much. So a lot of people say that, and I'm like, actually, to me, this is one of the most giving type of services, is it impacts your entire, to me, a lifetime of understanding of fitness. Or if they're young kids that I coach, like, they are always going to remember those crucial moments. We've always had those coaches that, man, I don't really like that coach, or man, that coach was super supportive of me, and I'll never forget that. So before you hop into, remember, you know, it's a much bigger picture than you realize, than just a bunch of sets, reps, and things like that.
I 100% agree with you. And here's a follow-up question that hits close to my heart, because I'm always someone that wants to debunk things. What is a myth that you find a lot with your athletes that they believe that is just not true, and you would wish that more people would not listen to?
Sorry, I stole that one already earlier.
Oh, you did?
No, I didn't mean to. I stole one of them.
Oh.
By bringing up the testosterone.
No, that's fine. You did.
Yeah, that was but she changed it to more of an athlete perspective. Like you said, man, a lot of that, to me, the one thing that comes off is more is better, that people don't focus on recovery time half as much, or not even 100% as much as they should. They always think more. Like, I'm going to go to this, you know, coach for this and this coach for this, which is all fine. You know, now recently I feel like there's been a shift in all these, like, athletes having a coach for every single thing, you know, coach for this specific quadrant of the sport, you know, the strength and conditioning coach, stuff I never had. And that's all good and well. I think it's developing the athlete better. But then I think it gets to the point of more is not always better. And then just the recovery, like, how important is sleep? Sleep is so, I think, one of those fitness tips that nobody wants to hear about because it's boring. Like, oh, go sleep more. And I think that's a big thing is, you know, back in the 80s and even beyond, he was like, oh, if you're not throwing up after this each practice, you're not getting something out of this. And that mindset. But that's kind of been the mindset, at least in my experience, and a lot of coaches I see, is they just want to crush you every single time. And not every single session is a crush session. Like, there's recovery periods, there's, you know, emphasis on mobility, and all these things I think get lost in these hype kind of ideas. You know, you get those motivational speakers, which is all good and well, but if you're not recovering, none of those things are going to really apply, in my opinion, if you're not recovering.
Oh, yeah.
So I think the recovery aspect is severely lacking in the athlete world, especially, and even general fitness.
I agree. Well, and like, in the ability to improve and change and grow as an athlete kind of diminishes itself when you don't recover and you don't sleep. Because I know a lot of athletes, especially when they're really good at what they do, they only time that they can do things like schoolwork and hang out with friends is whenever they're supposed to be recovering and sleeping.
Yes.
So that gets sacrificed first.
I love my sleep a lot. So much so that I've been having a problem the last month and a half. I've slept completely through my first two alarms in the morning. Like, not even snooze. Like, wake up, look at my phone, and it missed alarm. Which means it has been playing, and no, you're not gonna hear it. I'm a sleeper.
Well, Audrey, I really thank you for meeting with us today. Is there a question that we did not ask you that you would have asked us if the roles were reversed?
Well,
we're clearly expert interviewers.
The one that came to mind was, but we kind of already touched upon it, but that in my thought was, have you guys experienced any, discrimination against like exercise as a fitness industry, like being respected in the same sense as someone like a, you know, lawyer or someone like a nurse? Because personally, I feel a lot of people don't view us as an important profession. They view us as a hobby. And do you guys get that a lot from friends, family, people you meet and you introduce yourself like, oh, this is what I do for a living. And then they just kind of, meh, like, is this a hobby for you?
I definitely get a lot of that. I know when I was dating my husband, he would tell them what degree I was working. He would tell his friends about the degree that I was working on, and they would all laugh and be like, oh, so she's getting a college degree to be a personal trainer.
Exactly.
They would call me a meathead and all these, you know, terms that basically said I was stupid.
Rude.
And then when
I have a business, I have a Bachelor of Business Administration in music business that I am not using at all. So at least you're using yours.
True. Well, and when I was working in the hospital system, because I don't have a license, I didn't really get the respect that I felt I deserved or anyone equal to my position, because the nurse prioritized over all, even though in a rehab facility, the exercise professional should be the highlight for the participants and the patients in the program, because the program is an exercise program, and yet the nurse and everyone else had higher authority and permission to dictate exercise in the rehabilitation process over the exercise professional, which I found very challenging.
At most, I think it should be like a conversation. You know, both roles are important, but as an outsider, that's how I see.
They are important, but it was very political and a big give and take. That's a good question.
Yeah, and my other thing was, how do you guys, when you mentioned degree, how do you, especially having an exercise science degree and, you know, a master's degree in it,
master's
degree, when you see other trainers, especially like Oklahoma, for example, we don't really have that much regulations on professionals in the fitness industry. Like, you can get literally an online certification somewhere and then go train at a gym.
Yeah.
How do you struggle with, I guess, morality and that feeling like, oh, this person is literally just certified online while I have a master's degree, and they, you know, they get that either the Instagram hype or the, you know, whatever it is that they, you know, do, but they are in here training and you've put in all this work. Like, does that affect you in a certain way?
It does. It makes me feel a little diminished, honestly, because there you have that Instagram body, they have those workouts that are really intense and they get the fast results, but they may cause injuries that you don't see behind the scenes. And it makes me feel that they're the ones that are getting the money, they're the ones that are getting the clients, whereas I have the brains and the knowledge to keep someone safe and keep them performing well. And I'm not saying that those that get the online certifications don't know what they're talking about.
Right.
But there are the few cases where they don't.
Yeah.
And that's where it's really tough on me as a professional to not bash them. But at the same time, they're the ones taking away potential for me to help others. And so it kind of feels uneven.
No, I agree. And that's something I questioned actually when I finished my master's degree, was why did I do 6.5 years of my life for this person who, you like you said, just went and did a couple things. And I get the whole, you know, online self-research type thing, because that's totally valid too, because with the internet today, you can learn so much, you know, on your own without that formal education. And incorrect. Exactly. So I think that's where I struggle with personally, is I questioned myself, like, why did I put so much effort into this to kind of feel diminished, like you said, or overlooked by people who just, you know, may have been a little more social media savvy than me, or, you know, into something like that, or an influence. So
that's on our list.
So that's my next step then, right?
We get enough listeners to start putting ads on, and we hire people to do that for us. That would be nice. So I just mean, like, yeah, while you have to wear many hats, and especially in a situation like that where you are, it's your own business and you have to wear all of the hats, but you can get to a point, and most of those people, I would bet money, have some sort of service or something that does a lot of that for them.
Right.
So, don't feel too small.
Okay, last question. What research topic fascinates you the most?
Man. Well, right now, personally, just something I'm interested in because of, you know, my own selfish focus, but just in the last, well, this has been number 5, I've been vegan for 5 years, and there's a whole bunch of different, you know, I'm sure everybody's heard the Joe Rogan podcast. Speaking of podcasts, like, he's on there and adamantly like, oh, vegans can't do this, you know, and work out and stuff. So ever since I've went plant-based, I've been doing a ton of research, like how to fix exercise and, you know, what kind of challenges do I face eating, because, you know, lots of research on, you know, or you know, different articles you see that aren't always true, like, oh, vegans are protein deficient. Actually, I'm now getting more protein as a vegan than I did before, you know, and I've just been more health conscious and nutrition focused. So for me, it's just, how can athletics be enhanced through plant-based diets? So that's been something I've been personally researching. I don't know if you guys have seen Game Changers. That was a big one on Joe Rogan's podcast that they discussed. And so I've looked into different articles relating to a lot of Olympians. And, you know, a lot of it's been, I guess, endurance athletes. But my fascination has been strength athletes. And especially me now as a power lifter. I personally, and results speaking for itself, I'm a lot stronger. And I feel a lot better. I'm recovering a lot better. So just looking into those research in between the nutrition correlation, plant-based diet, and strength training.
No, that's actually a really good idea. I went vegan 3 days a week just on my own to just try something in my 20s when I was on my own little adventure. And the biggest takeaway that I got from it was it really made me pay attention to what I was eating, because there are so many prepackaged things like that that you can't, like, I was wondering what was in spaghetti sauce. Like, there's Parmesan cheese and spaghetti sauce.
Yes.
Which makes sense when you think about it, but it's not necessarily something you're just gonna go to. And, you know, so it really just made me pay attention to how many vegetables I was getting in servings a day and where I was gonna get, like you said, your macronutrients. And my fiance is lactose intolerant. And even the protein powders that claim to be lactose-free upset his stomach. And so I found this company that I can do custom protein mixes for him. And they have pea protein and pumpkin protein and all of these other plant-based proteins. And not a one of them upsets his stomach. Texture can be, we've
yes.
Been around with getting the right texture out of them, how to mix them so that it's not super grainy, but... Yeah, you're exactly right. There's plenty of things out there, and it's not just making sure that if you're vegan, you get enough protein, but having proteins that people with food intolerances can eat in his stomach. Why should he have to make himself sick every time just because he needs a low-calorie
whey protein shake?
Yeah. So,
anyway. Yeah, that's been my... Sorry. But yeah, that's been my focus other than that. And just recently more and more people are going plant-based for allergy reasons, like you're saying, lactose intolerance. And so it's just very interesting. And like you said, you pay attention to things that, you know, you never really thought of much before, which is ingredients. And I just think it makes overall healthier lifestyle for people.
I know Stephen Colbert kind of made fun of it, but what was funny was maybe a month before that, my fiance and I were talking about lab-created meat. Like, I'm on board. I'm ready for it. Like, I have a ring that's sapphire, and it's lab-created sapphire. Molecularly, it's the same.
Yep.
Why do I care if it came out of the ground or it came out of a lab if it's molecularly the same? So, yeah, grow me in a lab, make it the same. I'll grill it and eat it. It'll be fine. I think it's not going to taste any weirder than it tastes if you go have grass-fed beef for the first time. I mean, the meat we get in the stores, there's so much done to it that it doesn't even taste like what you
taste
like anyway. So if we can get used to that, we can get used to lab-created meat too. So I'm on board. Like, let's go for it. Get that going.
I'm glad. Yay.
Well, thank you, Audrey, again for meeting with us today. We've learned a lot about you and your career. We've learned about the challenges of being a female athletic coach at the same time of being an athlete yourself and overcoming those challenges of just living life with a lot of energy.
Yes, that's me, energy.
And I have been monitoring the chat. We really just have one from Cindy that says, by far the best trainer and teacher I've ever been underneath.
Oh my goodness. That's
very nice.
I appreciate that so much. See, and that's what it's all about, is just hearing those kind of things. That's out of anything in my career, you know, you couldn't give me enough money or, you know, oh, this person, this trainer's well known or a famous trainer. Like, that kind of stuff is what just makes me happy and want to do this kind of stuff every single day. And that's how I know, like, this is what I wanted to do. And now this really shows this is my purpose in life, because it just makes me light up, especially when I make that impact on people.
Yeah. Well, we'd definitely love to have you back. To the few people that are still listening, we thank you so much for joining. This is something that my sister wanted to do for a long time, so I'm happy I can be here to support her and help get this off the ground. So check us out on Podbean. We'll release episodes every Tuesday. Hit us up on Instagram and Facebook. We have TikTok. Twitter's probably coming. So let us know if there's any research topics you want us to do an episode on. If you have any questions for us or follow-up questions for Audrey. And we will talk to you soon.
And thank you guys for having me.
Okay, thanks.